I'm Haley.
I'm John.
And I'm Will.
And we're from Crimson Comet, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the one you're listening to now, the opinions expressed are those of the individual host.
Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in
3, 2, 1.
You're listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
And your reporters for this 14th episode of the third season of Arrow, titled The Return. I am Wing, and with me is Star Pie.
I really need to learn to stop talking to myself.
Chris.
That disguise wouldn't work even if you smeared grease paint all over your face.
And Neil.
She had her own secrets, and those weren't my secrets to share.
Oh, guys, you can save this podcast. So happy to have Papa Queen came back just for a little cameo. That was really
neat. You got two daddy queens on this because Ollie's a daddy too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoa. Ooh, nice, nice.
Don't forget, guys.
No, not yet. once a season. Not in the same show all the time, but once a season. So this podcast is recorded on Saturday, February 21st, 2015. We are just a few guys discussing the TV show Arrow, in case you didn't know by the name Starling Tribune. Just a little reminder that Stargate Pioneer, I don't like to say that he's not a comic expert, because at this point he's becoming one, but yeah, sure.
I have a little comic knowledge, but I'm really a sci-fi guy, but I'm liking this comic resurgence in the general media right now. It's great.
At this point, Chris and me are basically the resident comic geek.
Yeah, I read too much stuff, guys.
And Neil is resident comic geek as well, I would say.
Yeah, I've returned to the fold. I was really big in the 80s and 90s, left it, and I'm back with a vengeance.
Well, you're not doing the Haley thing where you're reading every comic ever written since the 18,000 or something.
18,000.
1,800. Woo, 1,000. Wow, I'm in the future, guys.
There's a couple of shows on sci-fi right now that are doing the time hop thing. One is 12 Monkeys and one is Helix. And Helix is actually going forward like 10,000 some odd days or something like that, which is 37 years in the future. So there you go.
Not bad. This episode, The Return, I like the idea of the title because we were all assuming this would be the return of a character. But no, it's the return of, in the flashback, Oliver Queen to Starling, and in the present, Oliver Queen to the island. Nice inverse thing. I like that.
I checked into who directed and wrote the episode because I liked it, and we'll talk about who likes it and who doesn't later, but it was directed by Dermot Downs, who's mostly lately been doing Tomorrow People on CW. But it was written by Mark Guggenheim, who's the executive producer for Arrow, and Eric Olson, who's the co-executive producer of Arrow. So they really put a lot of thought into this episode.
Yeah, a little bit too much for my taste.
Well, I'm like beef. I like the big universe, so I like bringing back people every once in a while. Heck, we even got Detective Lucas Hilton back. It was awesome.
They surprised us with the returns this time. Before, like, oh, we're happy we're bringing Colin Donnell back, or whatever his actual name is, I'm forgetting. This time, they didn't even hype it. He's here. I was like, huh, Tommy's back.
I'm done with Tommy.
Well, I don't blame you, but
just let the guy die for once. I mean, for me that was a lot of return of season one, and that was a lot of look, we're in season three, and you need to remember that we started somewhere. And I was like, oh, go back to the island so I can have more Slade, please.
Well, this got used a little bit to clean up how the history's changed. Yes. A little bit over the course of the show too.
It was basically a prequel episode.
It was.
We spent more time in the past than in the present.
Well, we spent, 5 minutes in the present to go back to Laurel and Lance
Everything on the island was in the present, too.
You know, when Laurel went into the bar and saw Quentin at the bar, I honestly didn't know until I watched it a second time that that was in the past. I thought that was following directly following what had happened at the end of the last episode.
How did he grow his hair back that
fast?
But, I mean, his wig was pretty bad, just like Ollie's wig was really bad with that hat on.
Right, okay.
That hat was terrible.
So I didn't notice that, but I didn't know at first. I was like, oh my gosh, so they did a good transition there, in my opinion.
Yeah, they need to invest on the wigs, I'm just saying.
Normally, Oliver's wig looks semi-fake, but with that hat on, the way it just had the hair sticking out, I was like, oh man, that's a bad wig with that hat.
Yeah, and I didn't have any Rory. I mean, the biggest Roy throwback is the fact that Oliver is wearing a green hoodie. And I was like, okay, that's pretty much...
Colton Haynes just collected a paycheck for this episode. He wasn't actually in it, but he's credited.
And he wasn't part of Ollie's backstory, so it makes sense that he wasn't hanging around. It would have been too contrived if he was.
Did throw in Felicity, and I had a problem with that, because she was not going to the executive office at that point. She was still a little IT girl.
I didn't have a problem with it.
School.
Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it for a couple of issues. She could have been interning, whatever. But okay, so she's taking care of the computers. Plus, the way she spoke was the way she spoke in season one. She has evolved as a character. She no longer speaks like that, which is really cool. And it was really cool to bring that back, at least for an episode. So I get this sense that we're going to have a major split coming up in the rest of the season, and I don't know which side Felicity is going to really end up on, but it was nice seeing her before everything started, before up to the point where you get Oliver going to see her at her little desk with when she's got her little Surface RT tablet and doing the little unlock thing across the Queen Consolidated logo and stuff.
And it kind of explains why he might have gone to her in season one for help then, because he might have vaguely remembered her from being in Starling City at one point.
You're reaching, man.
I know, yeah, I'm reaching, but that's what they want us to think.
Sure.
They're trying to set up this whole they're destined to meet thing.
Yeah. This was, this was written by the executive producer and the co-executive producer. There's a lot of symbolism in this one.
Oh, I'm going to give you that. There's a lot of symbolism in this one. Lots of symbolism in this one. But a little
like Thea is a schoolgirl? Hubba hubba.
Yeah, but I can't stop thinking that she's supposed to be 16 and she looks 25.
Well, it's a typical problem on a CW show.
Fair. Well, it was like, okay, sure, Tia, whatever. And she's 16 and she goes to a party where she's supposed to look 21. And I'm like, oh, come on, guys. And at that party, worst dealer ever. Takes the money, show the bag in the end like... Zelda style, put it in the air, it's good for commerce. I'm like, come on.
Oh, it was free advertising. My problem with the party was Ollie has apparently not played any Deus Ex or any Hitman, because what you do after you do the silent kill on the balcony is you hide the body. You don't then dump it into the middle of the party over the balcony.
He wasn't thinking straight, that's for sure. No Assassin's Creed either.
True that. Oh, that's nice bowl, sir. Nice bowl. Yeah.
What I really liked about the party, this is the first time, I think, the first time that we meet Diggle's brother, Andy.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, it was. Yep.
Nice catch, sir.
And actually, another great, great throwback in the party was how Ollie killed the dealer. He used the exact same inverse neck breaking that he did in episode one of season one on the guy that saw who he was.
Oh, true.
I don't know. Is this the first time in the past timeline that Oliver's really killed someone that's not a physical threat to him? More that just because he's pissed off at the action they've done?
Well, they're trying to do the counterpoint of the fact that he's not a killer anymore, and he needs to find that killer instinct that he added
but
these
he
days.
He was just struggling with killing people the week before in the past.
Yeah, he doesn't struggle anymore.
I'm not saying I don't buy it. I'm just saying I'm not sure how it lines up other than to give you a nice parallel between the past and present.
Well, what was the thing that Waller said either last week or the week before is that your sister's turned into a druggie, and he sees who's giving her drugs, and he knows that Tommy is trying to stop it and it's not working. So he is pissed that somebody is actually forcing this almost. I mean, Theo wants it, but forcing this on his sister.
Yeah, good point. But he seemed genuinely surprised about the drug thing in season one, and in this one, he already knows, so...
Maybe he's assuming she kicked it after he killed the dealer.
Maybe, but that's why I'm saying they're reaching a little bit. Yeah, retcon, there you go.
Yeah, there was even a reaching Christmas party reference, which I love. I love every reference to Christmas. We need a new Queen Christmas party.
I like Christmas.
I like the Christmas party in the big Queen Mansion. I think we need to have one again.
I was just happy to see the Queen Mansion again.
Can I ask something from Allmark? I need a green, actually an arrow ornament for next year. Make this happen. That and the Flash. That would be great. Thank you, Allmark.
That'll be tough. Wow.
They're probably already sculpting right now.
Yeah, DC already. They announce it in, I forget if it's June or July, so they already know what they're going to do.
I don't know, but I have my little Adam West Batman and my Tim Burton Batmobile, and I mean, a Oliver Queen would work really well on my tree at this point. Just saying.
Yeah, just hopping back, though, Chris, you said it was great to see the Queen Mansion again. I'm with you on that one. I was like, aw, we haven't seen the Queen Mansion in probably a season now.
I miss the Queen Mansion.
It's in Mothballs. Well, it is.
It is.
I want to see what's in the garage in Mothballs.
There must be some sweet cars in there.
You would think.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be quite possible. Unless they had to sell them all.
I'm going to bat checklist for a second, but do you remember it's Batman Forever? The best scene where he goes to the garage with future Robin and you see all the old cars and I'm like, I want to die in that garage. Please. That's my Batman reference for tonight.
Ollie actually tells Thea on the island that she killed Sarah.
He comes clean. They don't have secrets anymore now.
Well,
because it was going to backfire on it.
Yeah, I think that's too strong of a statement there. That yes, he is open when asked, but there's a bunch of stuff that is in his mind that has not come out yet. And honestly, it's stuff that we haven't seen yet because we haven't gotten there in the flashbacks.
Good point. Good point.
Well, he didn't even mention that he'd been back to Starling. He didn't come clean on today or this episode's flashback.
Yeah, but okay, that's not the biggest secret in there. I mean, in the big scheme, I think he's pretty clean at this point with Tia. I mean, she knows he's the Arrow. She knows about the killing. She knows what he's been doing in the last 2-3 years. But that 5 years gap, I mean, maybe Diggle knows the most of it at this point.
He makes a lot of confessions to Diggle. That's his sounding board on things.
Diggle is Alfred. He needs to know.
Yeah, and sadly, Diggle is not Green Lantern.
Yeah, I think DC was like, nope.
That made me sad inside.
Yeah, me too, because I've been hoping for that since like episode 3 or something.
We found out who was feeding Slade, though. It was Argus. They had a couple of technicians down there.
They had a technician, and then the other prisoner was down there still.
Yeah, I thought they had like a couple of prisoners in there. No, they have Captain Boomerang and Deathstroke. That's it.
And how badly do you have to piss off Amanda Waller to get Duty stuck on the island feeding those two guys?
Oh, not that much. She's a bee.
Yeah. Maybe it's a welcome vacation. You ever get mad at your boss or something? You're like, just give me an assignment to Siberia or something. I don't care.
Would you prefer Siberia or the island? I take the island. I'm just saying.
Between Siberia and the island, I take Siberia because there's ways to get out of Siberia. The island,
It seems pretty easy to go to now. I mean, him and the Flash at some point just went there back and forth in like 5 minutes.
Well, Flash has to know that you're there, though.
Yeah, and apparently Merlin went there, killed the Argus agent, and came back to the island in time to call him on a sat phone. So.
Or just used an agent of his own.
I think he went. It's becoming like, I don't know, they have a train that goes directly there.
Okay, talking about transportation on and off the island, was the Amazo in the right place? Was the wreck in the right place, or has it strategically moved throughout the cinematography?
It moved to fit the cinematography because I was like, nope, that doesn't work. It was not in the bay. It was on the beach.
I will say the CGI, though, of the island, like at night when they did that shot and the Amazo, it's just great. I loved it.
Agreed. The visual on the island was beautiful, but is it me? But it didn't feel as much as the island as it used to. Felt more like a forest.
Well, when you had the big booby trap coming down on them, on the Queens, that made it feel like the island.
I don't know. For me, it felt like any planet in Stargate.
Well, maybe. Would you have preferred them to go to the wrecked out Hulk of a plane, maybe?
Yeah, you actually
the cave.
Yes.
Well, you got to remember, this island has lots of different environments on it.
Yeah, but it feels like Neil's backyard. Come on.
It might have been Neil's backyard.
It probably was somewhere that it was some random planet on Stargate. And it makes sense. They know the locations.
Yeah, they do. They do, like every other show shot in BC.
Like every sci-fi show on the planet right now.
Yeah, what's that website? YVR?
YVR Shoots.
YVR Shoots. Yeah, I got to pay attention to that.
Is it me or Slade, since he's not Mirakuru, has lost a lot of training, maybe the last six to eight months?
He's nuts, man. It's not that he's lost training, it's just that he's become a little unhinged being isolated.
Maybe, but he's laser focused when it comes to defeating Oliver Queen and his family.
Yeah,
what's
everything's
left?
About hurting Oliver now.
He knocked them out, and instead of killing them, he puts them on the cage so
it's
they
torture,
can't get out.
Though. It's a different thing. He wants to destroy him mentally before he comes back to kill him.
Like he's not going to get out. This sounds like James Bond from the 60s.
The same logic we had, though, before is, isn't Slade going to get out? I mean,
yeah, okay.
Yeah, if Slade,
someone had to come and physically break him out.
Right. If Slade hadn't gotten out in how long has it been? 9 months or whatever? He might think, yeah, Oliver's not going to get out. I can't get out. Oliver's not going to get out. I've taught Oliver everything he knows.
And bear in mind, he's bat-ass crazy right now.
Yeah, the whole plan was to leave them in the cage, plant two burned and disfigured bodies back in Starling, and have the world think they were dead and just leave them there, which makes me wonder how infrequent were their shift changes as well, and were there no radio? Like, was nobody going to check in with the island from Argus?
I thought about that, too. I had a problem with that, too.
There's some logic gaps here, guys, but it's still fun.
It's fun. Okay, I'm going to give them
no
that.
No question.
It was really fun episode. Yes. For all the problems I have with this episode, and I'll be honest, it's probably the episode in season 3 where I have the most problems. It was fun to watch. I miss having a bunch of superheroes on the screens because we've got no costumes whatsoever this week.
Well, have you seen the preview for next week, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah, they're going to make up for it.
Yeah.
I'm good. I know I'm a sucker for costumes. I know, but when you put a bunch of superheroes in costume on the screen, for some reason I go, giggity.
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 Say that again for me.
Giggity.
All right. Just wanted to make sure I had it recorded.
I know. I'm becoming geek. What can I say? I mean,
we've all got our things. It's fine. You like the cosplay. You like the costumes. That's great. They have to be fun. In this day and age, though, it's not just a costume. It's not just like going to a party. It's got to be functional. It's got to be armor. It's got to be powerful, you know, aiding on it and whatever. And I think for the most part, they've done a good job at it. Now, we could go back to the debate on which Black Canary outfit each of us likes better.
Ooh, Black Canary. They say Black Canary. They said Black Canary.
Yeah, Quentin actually says Black Canary in this episode. Yes.
Yeah, I was like, giggity again when they said that.
Is that the first reference, Chris, Neil?
That is the first reference they made to a Black Canary.
Exciting. She is the Black Canary. Yay.
Let me ask you guys a question because I didn't pick it up either time I watched it. Did Oliver actually find his dad's list in the study?
I'm not sure.
On the island. No. He got the book on the island, and then he got that video in the study that then put him back on the path.
But did he get like a full book in the study? Because he burned a couple of pages on the island.
Yeah, he got a brand new book in the study, but he had burned the first couple of pages on the first book on the island. I'm just wondering what else was in that file that he got off his dad's computer, because 9 minutes to download a 10-second video clip, even if it was in like super HD, it wasn't taking 9 minutes to download.
Yeah, and we haven't seen the one for Tia yet.
Well, it was on a USB 1 stick, so...
Oh, fair enough. Okay.
I was kind of happy that the tablet he watches on is not a Surface. It's a Stargate tablet, like that old, like it's just a screen.
It's a laptop, yeah. Yeah. It's a folded over laptop, yeah. Yep. Those have been out for a while. For anybody saying, no, those are brand new. No, they have actually been out for actually close to 10 years.
But I was happy that they didn't do the, here you go, this is Windows paying for our stuff. Because right now all the computers are like the giant tablet Windows computer. So
What I really liked was that the video message was his "with great power comes great responsibility" moment when Robert Queen told him that he can right his wrongs and he can save this city. Like, all right, that's it. That's his motivation right there.
But that's the same exact thing he said before he killed himself. Am I right on that?
I don't remember.
I'm going to have to go back and check
that. I try to retcon that. So there's some times that I think he's still alive, or there's a possibility that he's still alive. And no, he shot himself in the head and Ollie buried him on the island. Got it.
He's going to show up on Gotham at some point.
He could. He could. Totally. I think Moira could too.
That would be nice to die in, but I don't know if the fuck's going to go there.
So we know that contractually there are tie-ins to Supergirl. Are there any contractual tie-ins that we know of to any other show?
Not at this point, because Supergirl is basically produced by the same company that owns all these networks. Right. And Titan's going to be produced also by one of the sister companies. So Titan is supposed to, at some point, have some crossover. So if they do more than a pilot, Chris, they will. But at this point, Gotham is not... they say it could be, but they have nothing planned yet. So we will see. And at this point, I know Gotham has been renewed for season two, but it's really funny to see how many people watch that show and how many people hate that show but still watch it. So it's really weird.
Was Chyna White, when she was doing her deal, was she at the Queen Foundry that later became the nightclub Verdant?
Yes.
Yeah, they just went all out.
Yeah, I like that scene. Sorry, I'm late. No, actually, you're right on time. I like Maceo. I'm going to miss Maceo. Maceo is becoming the new Slade for me. It's the character that I'm happy to see in the flashback every week.
Yeah, it's kind of a bittersweet one when you mention Slade like that.
I was just thinking that Amanda Waller's probably gotten a bit harder as the years went by, because in the current continuity, she just would have ordered a drone strike on that location. And she doesn't need to take that, like, half the Omega virus back. It's inert without the other half. Just drone it out of existence.
Well, the question is, did Argus have the resources and stuff like that to be able to do that? Maybe this is the birth and the buildup of Argus we're seeing now.
And she's not the big boss yet. We have the reveal of the big boss at the end, which you have a DC connection, I think, there.
That's correct.
General Matthew Shreve?
Yep.
I'll be honest, I have to credit Chris on that one, because I was like, didn't catch it. And Chris was like, oh, look at this comic. And I was like,
the only reason I caught that one is because they made a point of name dropping. I'm like, this has got to be something from the comics. And when I heard Shreve, I was thinking one of the characters from Batman Beyond. I knew that wasn't the case.
Oh,
because Max Shreve is in Batman Beyond as a Shriek.
Yeah.
But General Shreve is a tie in to Lieutenant Matthew Shreve, a character created by J.M. DeMatteis and Pat Broderick, who's an American soldier involved in Project M. He's a leader of Creature Commandos. Basically, he's their Nick Fury.
Yeah, this guy is probably going to die in the next two seasons, because Waller is going to take his place, or she's going to kill him. Maybe she's going to kill him.
She's going to take his place at some point.
Because she needs to become top dog.
Well, she needs to become white and then black again, too, if you remember the flat and how this all works, too.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Because they screwed up the casting.
They screwed up the casting with the foot in season one. Yeah, that's true. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. We're going to give them that. I think
they couldn't retcon that out in this episode.
Nope. I think at that point they thought she would be the character of Ravager. What was her name, Ravager? I don't remember.
Isabel Rochev?
Yeah, I think they thought she would be Isabel Rochev, and then they got the okay to use Waller, and they were like, ooh. Exciting. A little bit the same way when they asked to have Blue Beetle and they were like, no, you can't have that C-tier character. We're going to give you the Atom instead. Okay.
The actor that plays the general, Mark Singer, it's from my childhood. The original V series.
He's also the Beastmaster.
Yeah, that's true.
Wow.
Yeah, that was the Beastmaster for me when I saw him. I was like, ooh, wow, dig that guy out of the mud ball. A little bit, what is it in The Flash, the other army guy, which is, oh, what's his name?
The guy that got dragged away by Gorilla Grodd last week.
Yes. Character. Yes. What was his big claim to fame on TV?
He was Lex Luthor on the cartoons.
No. I only have MacGyver because I'm thinking of Stargate right now, but...
Back to the Future?
No, it was a procedural show, if I remember. Whatever. Nobody knows. Let's move on.
I can find out. I just have to go to IMDb.
We'll leave that to the Crimson Comet people to get that reference. So just get to their show on the Gunna Geek Network. And
well, the actor's name is Clancy Brown. I know that.
That's what I said.
Yeah, okay, Clancy Brown. Okay.
He's done all sorts of stuff. I mean, you look at his Wikipedia. He's been the Red Hulk in the Hulk cartoon that's on right now. He's in the Ninja Turtles cartoon. He's in the SpongeBob movie. He's in Lego Batman 3.
Oh, the SpongeBob movie. Okay.
Yeah, he's in Sleepy Hollow. He's in Ultimate Spider-Man. He's done a ton of voice acting.
He was the guard in Shawshank Redemption. Yep. He was in Starship Troopers.
He's Mr. Krabs.
Yes, Starship Trooper. Thank you.
Yep.
I got it now. Okay. It's out of my system.
That's one of my guilty pleasure movies right there.
Me too. The first and the third one are really, really fun.
I've not seen the third one other than the first 15 minutes when I went, ugh.
Yeah, but in the first 15 minutes, somebody gets killed by a shovel. That can't be a bad movie.
Well, we have different definitions of good and bad movies than Wing, but everyone knows that already.
Yes, we do.
And if you want to know why, check Legends Podcast on the Gunna Geek Network.
Or and Legends check out our future Shield. Bet we made on the Gunna Geek podcast this last week.
Yeah, that's true too.
Yep. So somebody has a prediction here I see on the document. So who thinks Ollie's going to lose everything again?
Well, I think Slade actually made that call. And he said, you know, you've lost everything. You've lost your mom. You've lost your sister. You know, how's that girl in the glasses? And realistically, Felicity's already come out and said, I don't want to be a woman that you love. He's walking down the path. And, you know, that's I think that's what Maceo said. He had to lose everything before he could beat Roz.
Right. And if you think about it, the harder you grasp onto something, the more things slip between your fingers. Think of the whole proverb of holding a handful of sand. The tighter you hold that, the more that slips through. And that's what's happening to Ollie here. He's trying to control everything and to save everything. And he's gripping down on everything. Something's going to slip.
That's a good point. The only reason right now I'm kind of bummed that probably Tia's not going to be Speedy by the end of the season is that they usually premiere the suits way before the episodes air. And we haven't seen a Speedy suit yet.
Yeah, so, you could be surprised. You never know.
I want to see her in that yellow and black suit with the black hoodie.
I'm not going to say what I want to see her in.
Well, I don't think she really wants to be in the heroing business. She's only doing this to help try and solve the problem with Roz and the League. After that, it's a matter of does she decide she wants to do this. Right now, all she's thinking about is surviving.
Yeah, but she's in their quote-unquote crucible, which is something important in this show. Everybody needs to go through a crucible before they get the costume. That's why Diggle never got one, I would emphasize at some point. But
his crucible's letting Deadshot go, I would argue.
Ooh, Diggle's?
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't seen Deadshot since, well, the last time we saw him, but
he didn't kill him. He let him go.
Yeah, that was in Russia, right?
Yep.
But no, we saw him again when they did the mission on the with the drone on the mansion.
Oh, yes.
So that was the last time we saw him. And where he saved, actually, Deadshot at that point. Not just not let him go. He saved his ass. So that was something. But I think she's going through that. So when she has her speech at the end, like, I'm going to be your partner, I'm going to be your soldier, I'm going to be your student, but I'll never be your daughter, I was like, ooh, we're getting too Mia-ridden right now. This is, and they're bringing back the addiction problem, which is a big story point for Mia-ridden in the comic. So now I'm just wondering when she's going to get hate. That's it.
As far as the drug problems go, though, you know, and this is maybe a public service announcement. I went back and reread the Green Arrow from 1973 last week.
Oh, nice.
Where Speedy gets, goes through, where Roy is Speedy, goes through his heroin addiction issues. Oh, it's not good.
Yeah, but at that point they were riding a line when they wrote that. So that was like, what, you're talking about drug in a comic? No, that can't be.
He kicked it in an episode after going cold turkey, or an issue. So it doesn't last long.
That's not an addiction. But it's comic. So it's comic in the 70s. You were growing out of that stuff really fast. Now he's addicted to sex, which is way better in comic. I'm just saying.
That's true. At some point, he has a discussion with Nightwing. Nightwing's like, can you stop sleeping with everybody we know? He's like, have you seen the people we hang out with? Bunch of super hot chick that are always in, like, either black leather or, like, skinny pants and everything. No, I'm not done.
Yeah, it's like the Olympic Village where they supply tens of thousands of condoms for the athletes.
Yeah. So. Well, you do see these things. You need to get laid after. Come on.
Yeah, well, I mean, you get how many thousands of prime athletes together in one place, and after they're done competing, yeah, they want a party. So there you go.
They eat some McDonald's and get laid after.
So Adam in the chat says, Nightwing's one to talk, though mostly only goes after redheads. So apparently you have a reputation, sir.
Well, he's not talking about me as Nightwing.
He's talking about the character himself.
But yes, I'll take that. Yes, yes, I'm only go after redhead. Sure, that would be great. But yes, he does. Yes, he does. Well, when you got Barbara Gordon for a couple of years, I mean, that's not bad. Just saying.
Yeah, Nightwing does well for himself. Then he had Starfire, too.
He married Starfire. It's
true.
And divorced her, where I was like, what? You don't divorce an alien from outer space that wants to discover a bunch of new stuff. I'm just saying.
Okay, so we strayed a little bit from the prime here, guys. Is there anything else from the episode that you want to talk about before we get to the checklist?
My last comment would be, I'm not a big fan of this episode where you just go back and it's like, look, we have history. I understand why they're interesting. They're personally not my cup of tea. So I'm really happy that next week we're going back to what I really, really, really like about this show, which is more superhero stuff.
This was one of those episodes where I saw the preview and I don't think I quite got what I expected. I was expecting more Slade than more flashbacks.
Yeah, agreed.
We got a lot more flashback than I thought we would. And that's not necessarily bad, but I really, really enjoy Manu Bennett as Slade Wilson. So I was just hoping to see more.
Yeah, and I think we got a lot of Slade. Slade was the high point of this episode for me. And what really kind of piqued my interest was when he's back in the cell and talking to Ollie and really, you know, letting him know where he sits. And then when he was starting to talk about Merlin, he said he's an interesting man to do that to his own daughter. He didn't call him out on it. It was just like, could we see a villain team up in the future?
Oh, sir, now you're interesting me.
That would be interesting.
Would you imagine Slade, Roz, and Merlin teaming up together?
Yeah. It's Roz and Merlin, though.
Now, Roz and Merlin's not happening.
Maybe 2-3 seasons online, but I'm just saying.
Yeah,
Okay, interesting thing before we stray out of the episode that I've read online at this point. They say that we're 3 years in the present, but we're only 2.25 years in the flashback, and by the end of this season, we'll only be 2.5 year in.
Yeah, they started to stretch it out. They've got a 7-year plan now, not just a 5-year plan.
Here you go. So we talked about that a couple of episodes ago, and I was like, oh, they're starting to plan right now. Okay, that's good. Checklist. Well, we had that general guy.
Actually, before we go on, Adam had a good point in the chat room. He said, I can't imagine that team up because remember, Slade killed Moira. Malcolm isn't going to be all that good with him.
Ooh,
good point.
Yeah, but they're really fracked up individual. So,
yes, but remember, Malcolm had genuine affection for Moira Queen, not just because she was the mother of his daughter.
He made his daughter kill Sarah.
He doesn't give two craps about Sarah.
Yeah, I'm just saying he's a special individual. Is
what the actor or the character? Because
both
kind of are.
Both. I heard that at Gallifrey 1 he was explaining where his little John was everywhere. And
no, I don't think he was explaining it. I think everybody else was explaining.
Okay, still, I don't need to hear about John Barrowman, little John. I'm just saying.
Yeah, what a character.
He calls it Candid and Jack.
Right. Okay. So starting the checklist, we had the name drop of Black Canary by Quentin Lance. Chris explained all about General Shreve. And we talked about the drug problem of Thea. Ooh, who put this next note in here? About Andy Diggle.
Oh, that was me. Okay. Basically, we've talked about before how the name Diggle is an homage to Andy Diggle, the writer on the Green Arrow books. Well, we know that Diggle's brother's name is Andy Diggle, and this is our first time seeing him.
Probably last time, because he's dead.
He's going to die soon.
gonna die.
When did he die? Did he die like right before the series started?
They didn't explicitly say, I don't think.
Because if that's the case, he's still going to be alive for 2.5 years.
Yeah, true.
Because we just explained the whole, we're actually expanding it out a little bit.
Yeah, I'll take this one.
Yeah.
So the whole going back to the island to get trained by bad guys is actually a really important part of the pre-New 52 Green Arrow. In about 2011, during the Ollie for Mayor storyline, he got his butt handed to him by Merlin. And he actually, after I think he's got 2 arrows in his chest, goes back to an island and gets retrained. And he realizes that, you know, he's self-taught, even though he's been trained up by other superheroes along the way. He needs to get some formal training to you know, advance his skills. And in fact, he gets trained by Deathstroke's mentor, Nantas, before going back to Starling. And what the writers have done is they've flipped it. You know, Merlin is the one who sends him back to the island to get retrained. He doesn't get retrained by Deathstroke, but he's using Deathstroke as the catalyst. So that's a really neat callback and flip of the comic continuity.
Mm.
That's fun when you have comic book writers actually writing your show.
I like the flip, although I would argue that Ollie actually has gotten a little bit of formal training. Yeah, it was out in the field, but he was formally trained by Slade. He was formally trained by Shado's father. I can't remember his name.
Yao Fei.
So it wasn't, you know, in a school setting or in a, you know, base training, whatever. But
he's from the School of Hard Knocks, yo.
Yeah. Yo. And the last item in the checklist is Captain Boomerang is still in prison on the island, or so we think so, because we didn't actually see a second cell or anything.
Well, we've seen some cells that are like closed shut, and they mentioned that there's one other inmate, but they never name drop him, which I was like, you could have. Come on. That was an easy one to do.
They might want to leave it open. I mean, Argus could have taken Boomerang out and replaced it with somebody else.
True. They could have. Because, anyway, I can't wait to see the next Suicide Squad episode that I'm hoping Captain Boomerang is going to be in it this time.
Yeah, it's coming up.
Now we have, next week we have another episode of Arrow, I think. Then you're going to have a couple of season one that we have on the back burner, because they're going for like a 2-3 week hiatus, which pisses me off.
Yeah, me too.
Thank God there's going to be some House of Cards to watch, because I was like, seriously, you're giving us a hiatus now?
Didn't your boss tell you that you could not take the day off when House of Cards came out?
That's why I'm going to watch House of Cards instead of Arrow on Wednesday night. Just saying.
There you go. Hey, you know what, guys? We got another voicemail from Black Adam. You guys want to listen to it?
Always want to listen to Black Adam.
Hey guys, it's Adam. Just calling with my thoughts on tonight's episode. Well, that ending was the best Thea scene in the entire series. I did like how they handled the interaction between Laurel and Quentin, both in flashbacks and in their one scene in current time. Speaking of the flashbacks, including Felicity and Diggle in them was rather forced, but I can live with them. Oh yeah, I'm not entirely sure whether Captain Boomerang is still in the prison. Oliver seems to think he was, but I doubt he would have checked. It seemed like he was going there just to see Slade. So could see him again, probably on Flash this time. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
And if you wonder why we didn't comment on your chat room, it's because we knew that was coming.
Adam also posted that pretty much the same thing about Boomerang in the chat just before I played it.
But that's a really, really good point, because he's so focused on Slade, and let's face it, Captain Boomerang was really fun episode, but he was not like that much of a threat more than a...
Yeah, it's not like Slade, who took over like 6 months of his life and nearly killed him how many times?
Yeah, he basically shot an arrow and that was done, and then Flash did his thing. So.
I think it's important. We touched upon it before, but specifically with Arrow and Flash, I think it's important that we bring out the crossover talk between the two, because the first season of Arrow was a backdoor pilot for Flash around
second
the
season.
Second season was backdoor pilot for Flash during the Christmas scene. So it was a little bit of crossover there. You started to introduce some of the characters that had been cast that came on to do little bits and pieces and integrate themselves into the universe. In this season, we actually had an out-and-out crossover. Now, while other crossovers are definitely in the works, I think you're going to get more and more story crossovers between the two series as they are actually able in the off season to sit down and be in a writer's room together to map out their seasons.
Good point. Good point. Anybody wants to have Firestorm in Arrow at this point? Because Firestorm is pretty rad.
Yeah. Of course, there was that whole rumor floating around this week that Firestorm may be getting his own series. And we've also heard the Atom series rumor as well. So I don't know what to believe at this point in time. CW has a lot of spots to fill, but I don't know how much they really want to fill with comic book shows.
Okay, I'm good with the Atom, but the Firestorm would be a stretch. I mean, he's an interesting character, but I think as much as he is in the comic, he is a B-tier character. He's good. Don't get me wrong. I really like what they did with him and the fact that they went with like the two character mix him together. But on the other end, again, Black Adam has a really good point there. Maybe a Firestorm Atom team up as a miniseries. That would be great. But I'm still waiting for my Birds of Prey miniseries.
Yeah, that's true.
Firestorm works in small doses, I think. Yeah. And I think if you had to try and do a 22-episode series, it would wear old fast.
Maybe. The one thing I got to think about in this whole thing, and it's the elephant in the room, is you're talking about Stephen Amell's cousin, Robbie. I mean, just the name alone is screen presence in this day and age.
Well, to cut into news, though, I think it was last week he tweeted a picture of Arrow and Robbie in the Firestorm, jacket with the doohickey on the chest, which started a lot of speculation. And then they all actually had to come out and said, no, we're just goofing around. The sets kind of coincided.
Well, there was another picture posted of Steven and Roy Arsenal and Black Canary together. And they said it was the last time shooting. And it's got everybody, thinking, what exactly did he mean? And one possible thing was thrown out there. Maybe it was the last thing that night. And then Steven came back and said, no, it wasn't. So I don't know what they're doing.
Who knows? Well, there's still the rumor that Arsenal might be transitioning to Titan. So that's still a rumor if it goes beyond
pilot.
That's
not going to happen. It's not the same showrunners or anything. That's wishful thinking.
Don't piss off the Nightwing on the show.
I'm not pissing him off, but let's be
honest here.
Apparently
you are.
No, there's absolutely no connection between the two shows other than the fact that Arsenal could appear on both.
Okay, comic geeks here. Guys, agree with me that one of the best brother from another mother relationship in comics is Arsenal and Nightwing.
Wing, I don't disagree with you, and I'm not saying that Arsenal rather won't appear on there. It's just not going to be Colton Haynes, Arsenal from Arrow, that's on there, because this kind of collaboration does not occur normally between other companies. The Spider-Man Sony Marvel thing is the exception to the rule. It's not the norm.
No, that's the start of something new. This is the start of something new. Don't take that away from me.
Keep dreaming, buddy.
Don't take that away from me.
I will say one of the things that really ruined the Star Trek franchise, and Neil, you can back me up on this, is that people got apathy over seeing the same thing over and over on the same station over and over. I mean, the Paramount Network was basically
the Star Trek
cornerstone.
Network.
Yeah, around it. And of course, it failed because nobody wanted to see it anymore. And Stargate failed eventually because nobody wanted to see it anymore. If you had different versions of things going on, different networks, there's a possibility that the variety might enable something to survive a little bit longer than it would have if it's just the formulaic thing on one network.
This is where you have the advantage that Marvel's having. I'm not saying this to make a competition, but putting it on Netflix, it's people watch it when they want to. You don't have to make it appeal to everyone, and you don't care as much about, I need massive ratings. You put it on there and you draw in the people that want to watch it.
Men's got a point.
Yeah.
Yep. Can't argue.
Still want my Star Trek show on Netflix. Make this happen.
We kind of go. Now, wait a minute. I can't remember. Are you talking original universe or are you talking the new rebooted universe?
I don't care. I want a Star Trek show on Netflix.
All right.
I just want a Star Trek show on Netflix. That's it. I think that would be the perfect kind of the avenue for a new Star Trek show.
Is that Nightwing talking or is that Operator talking?
That's Nightwing friends with Operator talking.
Yeah, okay. Thought so. If you want to hear more about Operator, you can find him at Legends Podcast. Yeah. Also on the Gunna Geek Network.
Thank you, sir. Anyone want to add anything else on this episode of Arrow?
I really enjoyed it. I mentioned it right at the beginning, but I really didn't have a chance to talk about it. I did enjoy it. I enjoy the broader universes and going back and getting a little bit of the history, seeing some of the characters that we've lost along the way. Probably some of them we won't see again, like Detective Hilton. I don't foresee him coming back. The actor is busy, I hope, shooting the next series of Continuum. Would I want to see a full series, a full season of this? No, but it's good once or twice a year.
Isn't Continuum been canceled? They're going to do a miniseries to wrap it up and that's it?
They get one last season, I think is what it was.
Yep, get a season.
Wrap-up season. So, sorry, SP, I know you love that show.
Yeah, it was a good show. I don't mind it going off the air now, especially with some of the newer sci-fi stuff going on the Sci-Fi Network and not the Space Network or whatever they call it in Canada.
I'm going to jump for a second. I'm sorry, I'm cutting you there. But I'm in episode 4 of Defiance Season 2. This is a really better season than Season 1.
It's a brilliant show, and where it ends off at the end of Season 2, you just crave Season 3. So I'm so glad that they are actually shooting Season 3 as we speak right now in Toronto.
Yeah. If you want to hear more about that, listen to Voices of Defiance on the Gunna Geek Network as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a good show.
It's a really, really good show. A really, really good show. I miss Shannon, so I'm so happy that I can listen to the show now.
Yeah. We got to talk about when we're going to start genning up pre-Season 3, but I don't think we have an air date for Season 3, but Voices of Defiance will be coming back for Season 3 of Defiance.
And if you miss some Defiance and you like Monopoly, look at their website. They have a nice Monopoly set that you can print. It's just amazing.
Yeah, it's great.
It's great. All right. That was a pretty good show for an episode that I didn't care that much about. Can't wait for next week. I am excited for next week. Like, there is no end to this. But if you want to give us your feedback, do like Black Adam does so often. And thank you very, very much, sir, for chatting with us and sending us the voicemail. We always appreciate it. You can call us at 612-888-CAVE. It's 612-888-2283. If you want to hear more about Neil coming on the show, yeah, let us know as well.
And I want to thank Neil very much. This was the second show that he's done on the Gunna Geek Network this week, and I really appreciate it. He really brings a lot to the table.
Agreed.
Oh, guys, my pleasure, and it's a real treat to be able to hop on and talk about all things comic-y goodness with you.
Any last word at Roundtable Nerds?
Deathstroke.
At Stargate Pioneer?
Flashback.
At Neil Isn't Witty?
Island.
And I'm at Nightwing_GG, and I'm going to go with iPad. I don't know.
Really?
Mansion, crossover, really? Prison.
Thank you. Secrets. I'll take all of those.
iPad.
It's not even an iPad. I know. And you know what? Wrestling. This has been...
The Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin McLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the properties of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.